Fusion, so good to be with you. My name is Bo. Glad that you guys are all here. Hey, let's give it up for the worship team one more time. Thank you guys for leading us so well. Such an honor and a joy to get to be here tonight. Fusion is just my favorite place to be. So excited to continue tonight in our series, Anxious for Nothing, where we are going through this 9-week series talking about finding calm in a chaotic world. And there's verses that have been guiding us through this entire series. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which you'll find in your bulletin, which hopefully you grabbed on the way in. And it says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In nature, there is a phenomenon known as a perfect storm. And a perfect storm is not called perfect because it is ideal. A perfect storm is called perfect because it involves several different elements all colliding at the same time, resulting in a perfect storm. So it's things that on their own, they would all be considered a storm, but they all join together in this moment. So it's hurricane force winds and a cold front moving in and rain pouring out of the sky. And all of these things on their own would be considered a problem. But when they all collide at the same time, the result is a devastating storm that leaves destruction in its wake. We've all read about and heard about perfect storms in the news. How many of us know that perfect storms aren't just a weather thing, though, right? We can all experience perfect storms in our lives. Have you ever had multiple conditions all align at just the right time, resulting in a perfect storm for your life? Have you ever had a breakup coincide with finals week? An illness hit right as a job is lost and insurance isn't there for you anymore. A friendship blows up right as your first student loan bill arrives and it's time to start paying that thing back. Rent goes up as silence is on your cell phone and you know that you're not getting a call back on that audition that you auditioned for a few weeks ago. Preaching at Fusion after the Cowboys get beat in a heartbreaker. Perfect storm, you guys. I experienced another perfect storm recently in my life. Several weeks ago, we were leading up to our vision night, which many of you came to. And we were putting a lot of energy and a lot of effort toward that vision night, which was happening on a Friday night. And so the week of Vision Night, I start out my week on Monday by working on my sermon for the following Sunday because I was going to have to preach at Fusion after Vision Night. So I spend all day Monday, which is my sermon writing day, writing my sermon for the next week of Fusion. I then, as soon as I get that done, I begin to knock out and continue to work on my Vision Night message, and I eventually get that finished as well. I sent my Vision Night talk to Tom Hughes for his input and his edits on it because he's our co-lead pastor and he's a phenomenal communicator and I wanted his help making that talk as good as it can be. And on Wednesday night before Vision Night, Tom came back with some awesome, incredibly helpful feedback on my message where it resulted in me needing to spend a few more hours on my Vision Night talk for Friday night. That was fine though because I had Thursday blocked out. I had time to work on my message on Thursday. So things were going to be fine. I could totally get that handled. However, Thursday morning, I was talking to Matt Price, one of our pastors here, because Matt happened to be preaching at the other services that coming weekend. You see, when I preach at Fusion, another pastor preaches in the morning services, and we always talk throughout the week and compare notes and make sure that we're teaching on the same main points and make sure that things are lined up. And so on Thursday, Matt and I are talking, and I'm asking him about his message, and he begins to describe a talk very different from the talk that I had written. Really different. Like Matt wrote a completely different talk than I wrote. And with a sinking feeling in my spirit, I realized I got confused on the outline for this series, and I wrote a talk for a completely different week in the series. Which meant, With Vision Night 24 hours away, I needed to finish my Vision Night message, and I now did not have a sermon for Fusion just a few days down the road. That afternoon on Thursday, I am out at my desk typing furiously, you guys, right? And all kinds of good stuff. Typing furiously. And I get a call from my wife, Blake, telling me, hey, the car's having some mechanical issues, and it needs to get into the shop. Of course. Of course. Car trouble. Now, of course. You see, my need to work on Vision Night was an issue. My need to write a brand new sermon for Fusion was a problem. Add car troubles on top of that, now I am facing a perfect storm in my life. Thankfully, God's grace and God's peace were all over all of those situations. Vision Night went so well. My van was repaired. I figured out something to say at Fusion that week, and I had tonight's talk written 3 weeks ago, you guys. Staying ahead of the game, you know. You guys don't work that far ahead. I work that far ahead. It's cool. Here's the question that we're asking ourselves tonight, though. Is it really possible to know unexplainable peace in the middle of perfect storms in our lives? How can God's peace become our peace in the middle of a perfect storm? You see, the truth is, Jesus never promised that we would not encounter storms in our lives. Big storms, scary storms, perfect storms. In fact, he did the opposite. He promised us that we would encounter these things. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. You will have perfect storms in this world. But you be courageous because I have conquered the world. What we're going to discover tonight is that the peace that surpasses all understanding is available to us in the middle of perfect storms when they hit our lives. Not just when the storm has moved on, but in the middle of the perfect storm, God's peace is available to us. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for Fusion in this community. God, I thank you for the way that we've been able to worship together, for just the sense of your spirit in this room. And so, Lord, I pray now that as we look at your word, would you speak? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive and that it is active and that when we read it and we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So I pray that you would change us tonight. Make us a calm people. Give us your peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In this series, Anxious for Nothing, we've been looking at an acronym for the word CALM, C-A-L-M, where C is celebrating God's goodness, and A is asking for God's help, and L is leave your concerns with God, M being meditate on good things. And we're in our second week talking about leaving our concerns with God. And tonight is really about what we get in return when we leave our concerns with God. In Acts 27, we read about a perfect storm, literally, that Paul faced on his way to Rome. You see, Paul had been redeemed and rescued by the mercy of Jesus. And now Paul is all about the God purpose that is on his life, which is to tell everyone else about the mercy of Jesus. And God, he had set Paul on a path to preach about Jesus in Rome. And during his journey to Rome, the ship that Paul is on, it encounters a perfect storm called a northeaster, which is the result of eastern winds and northern winds colliding at the same time. The temperature drops, the winds howl, rain pours from the sky. It is cold. It is dark, waves are just pounding on this ship, and land is nowhere in sight for these people. And with that context, we read about Paul's journey. It says this, before very long, a hurricane wind called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, this is a long storm, when it continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Now, keep in mind, these are professional sailors. They had spent their lives handling hard situations on the sea. These guys had seen some serious storms in their life, and yet this storm steals all of their hope. Have you ever felt like that before in your life? I mean, you've been through some stuff, right? I've been through some stuff. We've got a story. We got some scars to show it. But we survived. And yet, inevitably in our lives, we encounter a situation where so many circumstances seem to come against us at just the right time that we happen to lose all hope in that moment. These sailors, they faced this type of storm. But Paul, who was on this ship, he would later write the entire letter to the Philippian church, including the words, to be anxious for nothing. Paul wrote that letter after he went through this storm. You see, Paul's instructions for us, Fusion, to be anxious for nothing are not theoretical. Paul didn't go to seminary and read a book about storms and then stand up and say, hey, listen, I know about storms. Be anxious for nothing in them. No, Paul knew about storms. He knew about hard situations. Paul knew about situations ripe with anxiety. And yet he experienced something that we are all invited tonight to experience. You can write this down. While you may be facing the perfect storm, Jesus offers you the perfect peace. While you may be facing the perfect storm, we have to know that Jesus offers us the perfect peace. Here's what's so amazing about the promise of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Paul says that, listen, you're not just going to receive any peace. And Paul doesn't say you're going to receive your own peace. The promise of Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is that you will receive God's peace when you need it the most. In John 14, 27, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you. My peace, Fusion, his peace, he says, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I love that he says, I do not give it to you as the world gives, because you know, like I know, the peace the world offers is entirely dependent on all circumstances being peaceful and perfect. And that is so rare in life. Maybe the first day of vacation you feel that way. Maybe that one time your inbox is zero and all your to-do list is checked off. But we live life in the real world, don't we? Jesus says, I don't give you peace like the world does, which is dependent on circumstances. No, he says, I give you my peace. And here's what's so great about the peace of Jesus. Every time in the Bible Jesus talks about peace, he is in a situation that is not entirely peaceful. The peace of Jesus comes in moments that are not peaceful. It comes in moments that are not perfect. In the middle of a storm, he talks about peace. When he's talking about going to the cross and dying on that cross, and all of his friends are freaked out and they're scared about, well, what are we going to do when Jesus dies? That is when he gathers them together and says, listen, I need to tell you something. I'm going to give you my peace so you do not be afraid. His peace is not dependent on circumstances like the world's is. The peace of God, the peace that Jesus gives us, it will guard our hearts and it will guard our minds in the middle of life's perfect storms. But how do we experience the peace of Jesus? Three ways we're going to talk about it. Number one, remember that storms are not how our stories end. Remember that storms are not how our stories end. Listen, you may be going through a really hard season, but can I remind you, it is a season. It may be a really long season, but can I remind you, it is still a season. Storms are part of our stories. Every single one of us can think of a time in our life we faced a perfect storm. Some right now would even say I'm facing a perfect storm in this moment. Listen, perfect storms are part of all of our stories, but they are not our stories. Your story is more than the storm you are facing tonight, Fusion. When Paul is on that ship, and all of these sailors had lost all hope because of this perfect storm that they were facing, Paul was able to experience the perfect peace of God. Because Paul knew this storm is not how my story ends. Later on in the chapter, in verse 24, Paul is visited by an angel. And the angel says this, "Do not be afraid. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you all the lives of those who sail with you." The angel tells him, you're going to make it to Rome. This storm is not the end of your story. Paul knew that his God-given purpose was going to take him beyond the storm that he was facing in this moment. And while these sailors are freaking out, Paul has peace because he knows, I'm not going down like this. This is not how my story ends. Fusion, if you're still breathing, if you still have a pulse, then the storm you are facing is not how your story ends. I know it might be scary. I know it might be hard. I am not trying to belittle the storm that you are facing in your life. But if God has given you another day, then you can hold on to hope that says this storm is not how the story ends for you. In Psalm 139, the author of that chapter says this, "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." Fusion, God, he has your days planned. And that doesn't mean that he planned every bad thing that you encounter in your life, but he sees where he is taking you. And it is not to abandon you in the middle of the perfect storm you might be facing in your life today. When we remember that the storm we're facing, it is not how our stories end. It is not how our stories finish. Suddenly we find peace that tells us there is a day coming when it won't be this way. Amen. This storm is not forever. So be reminded tonight that you may be facing a perfect storm in your life, but that storm is not how your story ends. The second way we experience God's peace in the middle of a storm, number two, remember that God's help is enough for you today. His help is enough for you today. When going through a perfect storm, it's easy to think, well, there is nothing that can help me with this. There's just too many. The universe has aligned against me, it feels like. The waves are too big. The winds are blowing way too hard. It is too dark out there. The bills are too much and the relational divide is too great. The coursework is too steep and the doctor's prognosis is too negative. Peace is found, though, in the middle of a perfect storm when we remember how mighty and able our God is to help us. To help us. When Paul was on the ship, it said in verse 17, "Then they passed ropes under the ship to hold itself together." They passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. The sailors, they did this thing which is called frapping. It's a nautical term. And when they would frap a ship, they would take a rope to the front of the boat, and they would pass it over the nose of the ship, and then they would walk that rope down to the middle of the ship, and they would cinch it together. They would tie it together, literally holding the boat together so that the waves were pounding against it. They didn't have to be afraid of this ship they're standing on literally breaking apart from underneath them. They would literally tie the ship together. Now, here's what's interesting. The Greek word in the book of Acts used for hold it together, which is the word frapping. The Greek word used there is used one other time in Scripture, only one other place. And it's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says this. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That word help right there is the same word used in Acts for frapping the ship together. See, what this says is, when we approach God's throne, we are going to find mercy and grace that will literally tie our lives together when we need it most. When the perfect storm is just pounding at you and you feel like your life is literally going to fall apart, God says, you come to me for help and I am going to help you. I'm going to frap you. I'm going to hold your life together when you can't hold it together yourself. God's mercy and grace, they are enough to help us. They are enough to frap our lives. They are enough to hold us together. Strength for today, holding us together. Hope for tomorrow, holding us together. Knowing this isn't the end, holding us together. Mercy that is unending, holding us together. Grace that covers everything, holding us together. When the perfect storm of life is pounding away at you, the Bible says that you come to God's throne and you will receive the help, the frapping that you need in your darkest moments. See, we're not frapped with ropes like a ship, but with mercy and grace, giving us the strength we need to stay afloat in the middle of a perfect storm. And God's help, his frapping of your life, it looks different for all of us sometimes. For some, it's something you hear in a sermon. Some of you are feeling helped. You're feeling held together. You're feeling frapped in this very moment as you remember what God is willing and able to do for you. For some, it comes by reading God's word, quiet time in the morning or in the evening, and something from God's word just jumps out at you. And you feel yourself, though you're facing a perfect storm, you feel yourself strengthened in that moment, and you think, I can make it through today because my God is helping me. For some, it comes through the encouragement of a friend, a close friend who's aware of your perfect storm, who is sharing that, who is bearing that burden with you, who looks at you and says, as long as you're in a perfect storm, I'm in a perfect storm because you're not going to go through this alone. And just knowing somebody is with you, God uses that to strengthen you, to frap you in that moment. Your storm is a season. It is not your story. And the help that God provides for you is enough to help you today. And we find peace in that. And finally, number three, in the middle of a storm, God's peace is found through worship. In the middle of a storm, God's peace is found through worship. Worshiping during a storm, I don't know about you, but for me, it's not natural, and it doesn't always come easy to me. My instinctive response to a perfect storm is a lot like the sailors on the ship with Paul, which is panic, right? And for me, when I panic, things just get very negative for me. It's like, oh no, this is the end. This is the end. I wasn't expecting that big tax bill to come in the mail. I guess financially, it's over for us. Sorry, Blake, the kids aren't going to college. It's over. Oh, man. Don't have a sermon for Fusion. Guess somebody else has to preach this Sunday. It's all over. I tend to panic in those moments. But it's during a perfect storm that we remember that worshiping God is a choice, not a feeling that we have. Sometimes we feel like worshiping, and man, I love those kinds of moments, don't you? But what I love even more is experiencing what God does in my life when I worship him, when I do not feel like worshiping him, but instead I choose to worship him in the middle of a perfect storm. One of my favorite stories of worshiping God from the middle of a perfect storm comes from the Old Testament, from the book of 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles, we read the story of Israel. And the nation of Israel at this time had been split in two, to the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah. And in the southern kingdom was a king named Jehoshaphat, which I think is a great name. Blake, baby number three, Jehoshaphat, you down? Okay, cool, Jehoshaphat. You heard it here, Fusion. That's not happening. So Jehoshaphat's king in Jerusalem. And he gets word of a perfect storm coming his way. You see, Jerusalem was about to be sieged. It was about to be under attack. But one nation wasn't coming against Jerusalem. And two nations weren't coming against Jerusalem. Three separate nations had banded together and decided we're all going to go and attack Jerusalem together. Talk about a perfect storm. And his advisors, Jehoshaphat's advisors, they come to him. And their advice is basically, listen, everyone's coming to kill us and there's not much hope. Okay, how many of you know you need some new advisors at that point? Fusion, can I just say for a second, if you've got people in your life who are only speaking negativity into your life, if you've got people who are only talking about what's hopeless in your life, if you've got people who are only talking about what's bad in your life, you need some new advisors in your life. Get some people in your circle who will speak God's truth to you. Get some people in your circle who will speak God's hope to you. Get some people in your circle who are going to speak God's promises to you. Don't surround yourself with negative people. Jehoshaphat's people come and they say all this stuff, but I love it because Jehoshaphat, he didn't panic. He was afraid, but he did not panic. Instead, I love what he does. He tells all of Judah, he says, everybody, you fast and you pray to our God, and I'm going to do the same. And so Jehoshaphat prays, and I love his prayer found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. He says this, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And I love this. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I love it. He says, listen, God, our strategies are not going to save us. Our own army will not save us. Our allies are not going to save us. But we are going to keep our eyes on you. And that is a word from God for somebody in this room tonight. You are facing a perfect storm. And you are so tempted to freak out and panic about whatever's going on in your life. But you just need to know, you need to keep your eyes on God because his eyes are always on you. He sees what you are going through. Do not panic about the perfect storm you are facing, but instead you worship God and you keep your eyes on him. So Jehoshaphat, he admits that this perfect storm he is facing, these three armies coming at him, it is more than he can handle. He can't do anything about it, but he is resolved to keep his eyes on God. So he and all of his leaders, they pray and they worship, and then they make their battle plan. And here's what it is. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for his splendor of his holiness, hallelujah, as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Don't miss this, Fusion. He literally sent the worshipers out in front of the soldiers. Imagine being one of those worshipers. You're like, I have a flute. Alex has a guitar. Sam's got some drums. That's pretty cool, but what are we doing here? But it's so important to see what happens next for Judah. It says this, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were all invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Look, Judah sent the worshipers out first.
They sent the worship leaders out first, and God set an ambush for all three of these armies. Judah never even fought in the battle. They sent out their worshipers, and God went to work. They sent out their worshipers, and God protected. They sent out their worshipers, and God fought on Judah's behalf. When we worship God in the middle of a perfect storm, in those situations where the odds just seem the longest, where things seem the most hopeless, that is when God shows up and fights on our behalf, Fusion. What greater peace can we find? What greater peace is there than worshiping the God of all creation, who knows your story and who promises what you're facing is not the end? The God of all creation who says, you come to me for help and I will give you everything you need. I will hold your life together when you can't keep it together yourself. The God of creation who says, you come and you worship me and I will fight on your behalf. What greater peace can we find, Fusion, in the middle of a perfect storm than that peace? That is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God does not abandon us in the middle of our perfect storms. And in fact, what I have found is that it's often in the middle of a perfect storm, when things seem the hardest and the darkest and the scariest, that's when I experience the presence of my Jesus the most in my life. And I think there's some people in this room tonight, you feel like you're going through a perfect storm. You can list all of the things going on in your life that seem overwhelming and seem to be too much, and you don't know how you're going to handle it, and you don't know what you're going to do in all of these things. And in the middle of your perfect storm, you feel scared, and you feel alone. And if that's you, I want to prepare to close by just reading God's words from the book of Isaiah. And the worship team, you can join me up here. In Isaiah 43, some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, your God says this to you, Fusion. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. God doesn't promise that you won't face storms in your life, even perfect ones. What he does promise, what Jesus said he would do for us, is he would give us his peace that will see us through whatever storm we might be facing in our lives. And so if you're facing a perfect storm, can I just remind you that you are not alone? You are not alone, first of all, because you're surrounded by a bunch of friends who are also going through storms in their lives as well. And for some, if you don't have anybody walking with you through your perfect storm, you got to get some people, you got to link up with some people who are going to be with you. Join a life group. Join a group of people who are going to know about your perfect storms and who are going to walk with you through your perfect storms. But in addition to that, would you just know your God is near to you. And his perfect peace is available to you tonight. You don't have to wait till your storm is over to experience the peace of God. You can experience his perfect peace in your life tonight. And so is there something you need to do in response? Something you need to do to press into that perfect peace that is available to you tonight? Do you need to be reminded that the storm you're facing, it is part of your story, but it is not your story? Listen, if you are a follower of Jesus, you need to know the end of your story is a joy that can never be taken away from you. If you are a follower of Jesus, his perfect peace is available to you tonight in this moment as you remember, this is not the end of my story. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, can I just tell you, his perfect peace is available to you tonight in this moment. If you will just take a moment and recognize and say, Jesus, I recognize my need to be rescued by you. I believe what you did on the cross for me. I believe that you defeated the grave when you rose from it. Would you give me your spirit? Would you give me your perfect peace right now? It doesn't matter how far away from God you feel. If you pray that prayer and believe it in your heart, his perfect peace is yours in this moment now. His peace is available to you tonight. Maybe for you, there's something in your life that you know you need to ask God to help you with. Is there something specific in your life, some specific place you need his help? Offer that to him, even now. Pray a silent prayer to yourself and say, God, would you help me with this thing? Would you help me in my finances? Would you help me in my relationships? Would you help me with this thing that I can't get out of on my own? And as you ask him for help in that moment, would you just remember that when we come boldly to his throne, we are going to receive mercy and grace that are going to help us, frap us, hold us together in our perfect storm. Do you need help tonight? And maybe, I think this is true for all of us, maybe we just need to worship God for a few minutes together in the middle of our storms. You don't need to wait for your storm to move on before you begin to worship God. Listen, I know worship is easy from the beach when the weather's great. It's harder from a boat in the middle of a storm. But worship is a choice. And when we worship, we can know with confidence our God is showing up and fighting on our behalf. So we're going to worship together for a few minutes. Alex and the team are going to lead us in a song. It's a song we've been singing for the last couple weeks about the peace of God. And maybe for you, you just need to let this song be sung over you for a few moments. You can worship God by just hearing these words and declaring they're true in your heart. If you want to sing, feel free, join us. But you can just let these words be sung over you. But I encourage you, before we leave here tonight, no matter what storm you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how perfect the storm is, you worship God from the middle of it and watch what he does on your behalf. Watch the peace that he brings you in your life. Alex, will you lead us?